And now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade. Suppose I told you that you were robbing your family of much of the goodness and flavor of the fried foods you serve them. You'd be surprised, wouldn't you? And maybe it'd be hard for you to believe that, but it can happen. In fact, unless you're using a really fresh shortening, you can't expect your fried food to keep so much of their natural fresh flavor and goodness. Now, Crisco is not just a fresh vegetable shortening. Listen, just recently, when our own and a group of independent scientists tested every well-known vegetable shortening in a number of cities, not a single one of these shortenings was found to be as fresh as Crisco. And not one stayed fresh as long as Crisco. And more than that, none tested creamier or purer than Crisco. So in addition to giving you grand-tasting digestible fried foods that you can cook without one bit of smoke or smell from burning fat, Crisco's pureness and creaminess are real helps in making delicious cakes and pies. Why, the new million-dollar gyro churn process now makes Crisco so light and creamy, you're saved every bit of hard creaming in cake making. And what wonderful pastry you can get with Crisco. Tender, flaky, and digestible. And speaking of digestibility, in answer to a recent question sent to doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility. Now, is it any wonder that pure, fresh, creamy Crisco is America's largest-selling all-vegetable shortening? Why, from coast to coast, good cooks tell us that they feel they're buying the very finest cooking help in every can of Crisco. Now, you'll find Crisco in either the 1-pound or the economical 3-pound size at your favorite store. Don't you want to find out about the Crisco way to cooking success? Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we join our friends at the small house halfway up in the next block now. Here on the front porch, we find Mrs. Victor Gook and young Mr. Rush Gook. Mother and son are seated side by side in the swing, interestedly watching the approaching figure of Mr. Victor Gook, who's briskly striding along Virginia Avenue's neat concrete sidewalk. Listen.
Your father feels jolly about something.
You can tell by his elastic step, huh?
Yeah, and that kind of halfway smug look on his face.
Hey,
hi. See how jolly he feels?
Maybe you got a raise in his pay.
Yeah.
Hello, Sadie. Hello, Rush.
This is private property. Better get off the grass before we stick the bulldog on you.
Quit leaning on a person, Rush. Shove over. This porch swing is plenty big enough for 2 people.
Was there a beautiful woman, heavily veiled and greatly agitated, come past here a few minutes ago looking for me?
Yeah. Will you move over?
I'm making room for Gov.
Well, sit on the railing. Too hot a day to be squeezed to a pulp.
No, Sadie. No, Rush.
Hi.
Where's Pete and Bill and Oscar and Leroy and Harry? Where's Florence and Grace and Edith and Belle and Josephine?
Get a raise in your pay, Gov?
No, why?
You're in such excellent spirits.
I'm in excellent spirits because my soul is a buttercup which has caught the liquid sunshine in its chalice. Move over and let me sit down before I break both your legs.
Get up, Rush, and take a seat on the railing. Not space for 3 people in this swing.
Hello, Sadie.
Hello. Mailman brought another dun from Kleeberger this afternoon.
Hello, Sadie.
What's making you feel so good?
I feel good because my life is an open book on whose snowy pages is written a beautiful story of noble deeds. Tobacco juice, old stone brews. Before I forget it, I better tell you you're supposed to telephone Rooster Davis.
What for?
I have no idea. I bumped into Rooster down on Division Street, and he told me to tell you to call him without delay. I gathered it was a matter of immediate and vital importance.
When does he want me to call him?
At once.
Well, how can I do that if he's down on Division Street? Has he got a magic telephone with him? Has he got a telephone with half a mile of cord attached to it?
I've delivered the message, and my interest in the affair is concluded. You may telephone Rooster or not telephone Rooster, just as you choose.
If it's so important, he can telephone me.
Hello, Sadie.
What's got into you today?
I'm pleased with myself and the world.
Why?
Well, the thing that gives me the keenest pleasure is the anticipation of tomorrow's newspaper.
Tomorrow's newspaper?
I won't be the least bit astonished if tomorrow's newspaper carries a lengthy article concerning the activities of Mr. Victor Rodney Gook, the big slob from Virginia Avenue.
They're going to print something about you?
I think it likely.
About your trip, Gov?
You hit the nail square on the head, Sawhorse, about my trip. Here's what happened, kiddo. I was sitting in my office this afternoon. By the way, you know Ed Griefer?
I know Olive Griefer. Olive's the girl there in Hamilton's that mailed out.
Oh, she's Ed's sister. Ed's on the newspaper.
Reporter, ain't he?
Yeah. Also, he's a Sky Brother, Sacred Stars, of the Milky Way. Good fella, Ed. Well, to get back to what I started to say, I was sitting in my office this afternoon, and the phone rang, and here was old Ed. What's this I hear about you roaming around the North American continent last week, Gook, he says. I don't know, Ed, I says. What did you hear? They tell me you and your boss took a business trip down south, he says. That's correct, I says. Where all'd you go, he says. Well, I started to tell him and hadn't more than said about 9 words and in come Miss Gregg with some hurry-up papers to okay. So I told Ed I'd call him back later and hung up.
I understand Olive Griefer earns a wonderful salary there in Hamilton's. Who was it telling me? Miss Lawrence?
I don't know. Listen, let me go ahead with this as long as I got it in my teeth in it.
Mm.
After I finished the work Miss Gregg brought in, I reached for the telephone intending to call Ed back. And then I thought, what the heck? I'll write down the highlights of my trip. See, Stu?
Huh.
Be doing Ed a favor because he wants stuff for his paper.
Huh.
So I picked up a pencil and started to scribble, and by gosh, I was inspired. Wrote and wrote and wrote. You know how many sheets I filled?
No.
15.
Nice.
15 sheets I filled. Of course, it only made 6 sheets after it was typewritten.
Had it typewritten and everything, huh?
Sure. It took Miss Gregg almost 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Took Miss Gregg almost 2 hours to copy off on her machine what I dashed off out of my head in less than 40 minutes.
Land.
I was inspired. No getting around it. Words just flew from that pencil.
What all did you say, girl?
Oh, lots of stuff. Told about Kentucky, told about Indiana, told about Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And after Miss Gregg had my manuscript all neatly typed, I put it in an envelope and sent the office boy over to Ed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Ed would be delighted. He calls me up hoping to get a paragraph or so of news, and by George, I come through with a whole doggone article.
Mm-hmm.
If I can recall any of the florid phrases and sweeping sentences, I'll quote them for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I said something about... Oh, listen. Kentucky is the land of the red sun, the blue grass, and the white cotton. Red, white, and blue. The colors of the flag that flies over the greatest nation on the face of the earth.
Right.
Not altogether rotten for an amateur, yeah?
Very nice.
And then I said something about Indiana, bordering Illinois on the east, is a state of hills as well as plains. Many important industries find their homes in Indiana, and the rural sections are a delight to the traveler's eye. Dozens of large cities adorn Indiana's broad terrain. We have Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, LaPorte, Terre Haute, Elkhart, and so on and so forth. I flatter myself the article is smooth and readable.
We must send a copy to Bess and Walter.
Yeah.
They get an enormous big thrill out of junk like that.
Junk?
You know what I mean. Pieces in the newspaper about their wonderful brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
They like to tell Carberry people about Sister Sadie's man that has his own office, an exclusive telephone, and wears clean white shirts to work every day of the world.
Hey, listen to what I said about Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio is north of Kentucky, east of Indiana, west of Pennsylvania, and south of Michigan. Native Ohioans refer to their commonwealth as the Hoosier State. And this affectionate
mistake,
nickname...
That's a mistake.
What is?
Ohio ain't the Hoosier State. Indiana's the Hoosier State.
No.
Sure. Ohio's the Buckeye State.
Is it?
Sure.
Well, if it's wrong, they can fix it there in the newspaper. Native Ohioans refer to their commonwealth as the Buckeye State. And this affectionate
telephone
nickname...
Rush.
Telephone?
Yeah.
I never heard it.
I did. Go answer it. Probably your chum Rooster.
Yeah, probably is.
I like the rhythm of that sentence. Ohio is north of Kentucky, east of Indiana, west of Pennsylvania, and south of Michigan.
Is that very newsy?
Sure.
Don't people already appreciate where Ohio is?
No.
Oh, if you were talking about China or someplace, but... little dinky Ohio, just a tiny ways off. Lands, I should think.
I've got much that same sentence structure in my treatment of Kentucky. Kentucky is east of Missouri, north of Tennessee, west of the Virginias, and south of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. The Mississippi River washes Kentucky's shores, as does the Silver Streams, and so on and so forth.
Hmm.
Not at all probable that my article will be reprinted by both the Lodge Magazine and the Kitchenware Dealers Quarterly.
Huh?
Of course, I'm not the kind of a bird that's thirsty for notoriety, but it don't hurt a fella any to appear in the public eye.
Mm.
Here's something else I say about Indiana. Indiana is east of Illinois, south of Michigan, west of Ohio, and north of Kentucky. Native Indianans love to refer to their commonwealth as the Gopher State. And this affectionate...
Who was that, Rooster?
No.
Not anybody for me.
No, it was Mr. Griefer.
Indiana is east of Illinois, south...
Nick, that was your Mr. Griefer.
Griefer? Ed? On the phone?
Yeah.
Well, why the heck didn't you holler?
He hung up.
Hung up? Rush, what kind of half-wit business?
Well, he didn't want to talk to you, Gov.
Didn't want to talk to me?
He was kind of mad.
What the heck is this now?
He says, who does your old man think he is? Marco Polo discovering a new route to the West Indies? He says, tell your father and newspaper readers already know Indiana's east of Illinois.
Go ahead.
He says, when we want to print first-grade geography textbooks, we'll give your father first crack at it.
Proceed.
He says, I'd have passed on your information about Ohio being north of Kentucky to the city editor, only I was afraid he wouldn't survive the shock of such a revelation.
Proceed.
Then he hung up. There is going to be something about you in the paper, though, Gov.
What?
V.R. Gook of this city was absent on business last week. V.R. Gook of this city was absent on business last week.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. You know, it's important that the shortening you use should be really fresh, for shortening can make a difference in the flavor of foods, especially fried foods. But here's something that may help you solve that problem. Recently, our own and a group of independent scientists tested every well-known vegetable shortening in a number of cities from coast to coast. And not a single one of these shortenings was found to be as fresh or stayed fresh as long as Crisco. What's more, none of the shortenings tested was creamier or purer than Crisco either. Now, you don't have to be a scientist to taste the difference a really fresh, pure, creamy shortening like Crisco can make in the foods you serve your family. Just try frying the fresh Crisco way. Right away, you'll notice that fresh Crisco plays up natural food flavors. For instance, try a big dish of golden fried eggplant for supper tonight. Crisco will help you to bring all the garden freshness right to your table. Notice, too, how light and crisp and how digestible Crisco fried foods are. Say, when you see how light and creamy the new million-dollar gyro churn process has made Crisco, you'll want to use it for your cakes and pastries. Yes, for all your cooking. Now, don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Sade the next time. This is Ralph Edwards speaking.